It gets better, ordered another round. 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 It gets better, it gets better. It's about to go
if he someone said if he get tagged the next 2 years, he got a chance to make $70 million. Then he could walk away as a free agent in his prime. Easy. I'm like, bitch, think I won't got don't take that tag 2 years in a row and leave. Oh, y'all don't believe in me? Let me get that tag. I'll leave, and he'll be a free agent. He can go wherever he desires. Like, if whoever needs a quarterback, obviously. But
shit, yeah. I go to, like, the Redskins or something just because.
Yeah, but I know the player. they don't believe in Haskins, first of all.
And that's crazy. That's real crazy because I feel like Haskins has talent.
You know how coaches' staffs are. Mm-hmm. They want their guys. Haskins wants right. their guy.
Yeah.
If it was up to them, if they would have had pick three, they would have taken Tua.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason they didn't take Tua, I'll tell you,
they had to take him. They had to take him.
They were like, we can't pass on Chase Young. I guarantee they would have took Tua at pick three.
And what's crazy, like, you have a potential, like, guy to be like Julius Peppers and stuff, so you have to take him.
Yeah.
You have to take him.
Yeah.
I think Haskins got talent too. He just limited. He don't push the ball down the field that much.
Mm-hmm.
You think his arm strong enough too?
I mean, he got a decent arm. He got a decent arm.
He needs to be in like a West Coast system, basically like Alex Smith, to be honest with you.
Yeah, get
like
the ball out. Yeah. He just ain't Alex Smith, who at least athletic.
Right. He can still move.
Haskins is just a pocket guy.
That boy heavy.
Yeah, well, he lost about 20 weight. Pounds now.
He done lost weight.
He look good now. Yeah, he look good now.
Supposedly, so it's gonna be real interesting to see if I know we talked about this last time, but the closer and closer we get to like the season, the more doubt I'm starting to have that it's going to be a season. Even though like everyone's talking about,
I'm actually not doubting it because I think with the NBA and the NFL, the faster they get these guys in, mm-hmm. the faster they find out who got COVID, the faster they can get these guys quarantined and get everybody on one of the faster they can get a plan in place. I think it's going to actually work out the opposite way based on them getting there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They said like 16. The 300 people tested positive for NBA, I think.
302. I thought it would have been more than that, to be honest.
Yeah. So, but these college players, them and the staff for the college team, they rolling in left and right.
Boy, because I saw something the other day say LSU had 30 players and staff test positive. They ain't even announcing. They ain't letting the names out, Bush.
Uh-huh.
They said they got everybody quarantined and it's getting taken. They say everybody already getting better. That's what I said. The quicker you get, they get everybody back. The quicker they can get everybody better, they get things rolling.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing that they're going back a little like right now.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of places are still, like, not all the way full and running in some states and stuff. So, that's why some guys are still, like, on their facilities and whatnot. So, it's until it becomes, like, more of an even playing field, that's when we'll start seeing, like, more guys into places, facilities and stuff.
Yeah.
I just know, like, with guys like me, it's just tough because, like, all right, cool, you're supposed to be going to get workouts and tryouts or whatever the case may be. It's like, can't really do nothing because nobody's flying. Nobody's really at the facility. Nobody's really doing much and stuff.
My working out has been to a cease with COVID. Freaking, I have to stay at home with the dog and my little girl all the time. It would be too much sometimes. I really only get to work out at night now, or either when my girl off. That's the only time I can work out.
That's
bugging me.
I'd be up at like, cause they got this private gym that they like only let like certain like only like a certain amount of people in at a time and stuff. So I'd be up early. I gotta work out because not working out just be driving me crazy.
I'm telling you.
I randomly be in the house while me and my little girl be chilling. Push up, sit up, just to do something.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I just gotta feel that little burn.
I do it when I play the game, in between every game, or if I'm on duty.
Every match. When I play every commercial, I do something. Every time duty session in, I do a push up. Every time I do sit up.
Tell me.
So you on PS4, Jamal?
Yep.
With the duty? Well,
you gotta have me on duty, man. I'm trying to go duty with y'all guys.
I'm gonna download it tonight. I'm gonna download it once you finish off here.
Me and my best friend be playing every goddamn day, bro.
I'm trying to find out the price on that PS5 though.
It's 500.
About 500.
Somebody said they already got. They just ain't announced it yet. But somebody said they placed it at $499. Say less.
That's not as bad as like when the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, because I know that was right.
My PS4 was more than that, I think.
Yeah, because Xbox was like eight something.
I got mine early.
Yeah. Like, let's see, as soon as I signed with the Jets or whatever, I think that's when the Xbox One had dropped, and first thing I did with my check,
I forgot you wasn't in college.
That was my first year.
I remember the PS4 came out my senior year, and I got it a month before it even came out in the U.S. This girl I talked to in Atlanta, she was from the Virgin Islands, and it was already out in the Virgin Islands. She went and brought one back for me for a surprise. Mm-hmm. But I let her came over every day for about 3 months. Hey, but I also happy to get that P4, boy.
Well, he ain't lying. But I feel like for guys who don't get the PS5, you're not really missing out on much except for like the PS. Like, you're not really, because the same games are going to come out or whatever until about like a year.
You know how it is. When we get the iPhone, you got to upgrade. You don't want them. And then I still got the same P4 from when they first. My shit sound like a goddamn helicopter about to take up on the runway. That motherfucker be Lord, I know I need a new game.
That shit be hot as hell. Put my hand behind it though.
I'll be trying to clean it, bro. I try to keep it clean, but I think I need to open mine up and get it cleaned up.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get started. But one of the things I seen online with U Stadium and whatnot is I seen that they had posted which quarterback and the NFL is under the most pressure. So I know this wasn't in the chat, but I wanted to go ahead and just throw it out there. So I think the quarterback who's under the most pressure right now, it has to be Jared Goff. And I say that because they gave him all that money. I think it was like 150 mil, might be more or whatever. And for them just to lay a dud, and for him not to already have, like, I think it was like 2 seasons ago, it was looking like he was going to be an MVP. And then he just fell off a cliff and then didn't do so well in the Super Bowl and hasn't had that same type of performance since then. He has the offensive guru of Sean McVay. He still has talent, had Todd Gurley, and different type of tools, that cup and receiver and stuff, and had a okay offensive line and a decent defense. So, like, what's your excuse? You know, you were, like, I think the number one pick, number one and number two pick is, like
– you're number one.
It's like, what's your excuse? You know,
what you think about? What you think about Carson Wentz though? As far as the pressure he under with Jalen Hurts being drafted, and they just paid him off. He kind of in a similar situation, but the only thing
with Carson Wentz, he was able, like, even though, like, I'm a Dak fan, he was able to win with less and able to get himself into the playoffs with, you know, even like with the injury bug. And the only thing that had been knocking Wentz was injuries, because
he's always injured.
Right. Always injured. That's the only thing. It hasn't been able to put a performance out there, because when he has played, and he's majority of the time, he's played well. So I don't feel like it's like a lot of pressure on him.
The injuries is why I thought some pressure would be on him, though.
That's one thing you can't help.
Yeah, you can't help it, but it's gonna be in the back of his mind. I gotta stay healthy.
And they just drafted a dude that, you know, known for like having.
He knows it's a guy behind them now that they're rooting for.
Yeah, I think both of them.
I can see where the pressure coming from that way.
Yeah, that's crazy. The 1 and 2 pick.
Hey, you go ahead. Yeah, number one, same draft.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, I think it's Tom Brady. Even though he ain't got nothing else left to prove.
Right.
Yeah, he probably got not to us anyways, but you know he always feel like he got something to prove to himself.
Right.
Right. And you go into a team, one of the best offenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best run defense in the whole league last year. Like, so the defense is pretty solid. They just were on the field a lot, so that's why they pass defense and wasn't as crazy, but
you got
your team. This probably the team got more talent on it than any team you've been on since Randy Moss did.
Yeah.
And literally their only weakness was turning the ball over at quarterback, man. And
right.
Like, as soon as Tom Brady signed, the expectation went to Super Bowl. So I just think the pressure is gonna be on him a little bit. Even though, mm-hmm. I think he can handle the pressure better than anybody I've been seeing. So I think it's gonna be a lot of pressure on him though, because he's gonna be going against some guy. I think the Falcons gonna be improved this year. Mm-hmm. I actually think the Saints gonna be improved, because a lot of people ain't talking about them adding Emmanuel Sanders. That's definitely gonna help their passing game, because Emmanuel Sanders is a legit receiver. You ain't gonna be able to just guard Michael Thomas the whole game, or Emmanuel Sanders gonna go bonkers on you. I think they're gonna be improved, and Carolina, they're gonna be young. I don't think they're ready yet. They're gonna be puppies.
Another quarterback I want to throw out there, and he doesn't have a lot to prove. Well, he shouldn't have a lot to prove, but it's just like just everything that's been going on. And I would say Aaron Rodgers, because with them having a top 10 defense, or I think it was a top 10 defense, or a good defense, and with them drafting the quarterback and just all of this negativity that they have surrounded around Aaron, he's been able to produce for like his whole time being in the NFL, and he still has naysayers and whatnot.
I'll go ahead and tell you, their defense was stunk. It was in the mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
I agree with Watts on the Brady thing, though, because, you know, it's a bunch of people ready to tarnish him, saying he can't do it without Belichick and all that kind of stuff. As soon as he started losing a couple games, man. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Oh, if he loses, like, two, three games, it's going to be, like, a media storm, because we knew it.
It's going to happen. It's going
to be a shame.
They're not going undefeated.
I told you. Should have stayed with Belichick.
I think Belichick got more pressure on him than any player.
Right.
In my eyes. I'm actually rooting for Belichick this year for some reason. I don't know why. I always been a Belichick fan, because I love guys that love ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, despite all the bull crap, I just love people that love ball. Because I love ball. Like, yep. If I know you care about something, I'm gonna root for you. That's why, even though I never liked the Patriots, but I always loved Tom Brady.
That mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, he's a competitor. He loves ball. I like dogs. He's a dog.
Yeah.
I always tell y'all, I like dogs. Tom Brady, a dog.
Exactly. Like, if you care about it, then it's like.
Yeah, you care about it, man. I like dogs. I don't care who you play for. I might not root for you, but I like dogs. I ain't going to be mad that you won something, because I know you love it and you put the time, man.
Telling you.
So, out of these four teams, which teams do you think would not make the playoffs this year? The Titans, Buffalo Bills, the Eagles, or the Vikings? And Brandon, you can go ahead and start this one off.
I told you, I went with the I initially went with the Titans, but
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to stay with the Titans. I said the only way it would be the Vikings if Dalvin Cook holds out.
Right,
because their running game will be down. But I'm gonna go with the Titans for sure. I think the Colts are gonna be very improved this year. They added a good running back in the draft. They got a good offensive line. I think the offensive line will help Phillip Rivers. They added some receivers in the draft. They added they still got T.Y. Hilton. They with their 13th pick they traded, they got freaking DeForest Buckner. So they upgraded their defense, which was already like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
They added Xavier Rhodes at corner, who I think has a lot to prove to himself. He's a competitor. He's gonna want to show that he still got something left in the tank, man. I think the coach is going to be improved, and of course I'm a Deshaun Watson fan. I think Deshaun Watson going to get Houston to the playoffs. Only I think those two teams are coming out of that division, so I think mm-hmm. the Titans are going to be a – I just don't think the Titans – he's not going to just let the Titans run the ball up and down right. the field this year.
Right. Yeah.
I just think they're one-dimensional. I don't think that – like, you remember, you know how those teams, they always come out of nowhere, but they have this, like, year where they just steamrolling, but it's always, like, this one-dimensional. I don't think that's going to
last. They lost Jarrell Casey. I think he went to Denver.
I don't think it has nothing to do with Derrick Henry, but I just think people are going to be more focused. They're going to be like Tannehill. If Tannehill doesn't take that next
Tannehill game, has to beat us.
Yeah.
They lost the right tackle, right?
Yep, they Conklin. Lost Conklin. Yeah. Yep, he went to Freak. Was it the – I'm not sure if it was the Jets. Was it the –
Nah, I think he went to –
It's a team that lost their right tackle. They replaced him with him.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
Why do I think it's the Browns for some reason?
It is the Browns. It is.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Because they got him and then they drafted a left tackle.
Yep. From Alabama.
Yep. They got those bookend tackles now.
Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm stuck on the Titans. Also, I want to say the Bills, and that's only if Josh Allen doesn't take that second step this year. As far as like,
I just think that division is down.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. I think the Bills might win a division this year.
And I said this when I was watching him in the playoffs last year against the Texans. I'm like, if he was able to just, you know, be just a hair better at quarterback, it would have been a totally different game. Instead of just him just being like a deer in headlights and having to run or whatever and just have to pull plays out of his ass and stuff.
He seemed like he kept trying to make the hero play.
Exactly.
Every game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, I look at him and I was kind of down on him when he came out in the draft and stuff, coming out of Wyoming and stuff, and just watching him play and watching him now, I'm like, he can become like a Ben Roethlisberger 2.0 if he actually puts in like the work and able to, you know, study film and like work on his mechanics and whatnot. Because eventually, it's like, I know one thing when I'm being with Rex Ryan and stuff, they're gonna start showing you stuff you've never seen before. You're going to have to be able to break that down and be able to see them. Like, oh, this is cover two. Even though it looks like cover one. Oh, they're in a two-shell type of defense. Whatever. Oh, let's go ahead and check out of this and this and that and third. I'm like, you can become that for Buffalo. I'm like, you just got to put in the time and the tape. And I feel like with the coaches and stuff that he has there, that he can do that. And being that he is still young, okay. It's just I've seen Ryan Tannehill. I've seen what he's done. I've seen – and with them losing like the force that Casey was on defense and stuff, and it's like, I'm not gonna let Derrick Henry beat me at all.
Yeah.
At all. I'm gonna put how many I have to put in the box. I'm gonna have to, Ryan Tannehill, you got to show me that you can actually do better than what you did in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if they have a true number two. Like, I'll load the box and bracket AJ Brown every game.
Exactly. I'm like, what else? Hey.
Y'all got to show me somebody that can beat me, man.
Exactly. And then,
but your point on Josh Allen, I honestly think he's better than he could. Bro, he's throwing to like 5'8" wide receivers. He's 6'6". I feel like it messes him up trying to throw to those short guys. Like, I throw a football. Throwing my daughters a lot harder than throwing somebody my height.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like they got the smallest receivers, and I think he needs some big body receivers.
I
think one more receiver because Diggs is gonna be a good addition for them.
I think they need a big. Diggs 6 feet. They need Kevin a big. They need about a 6'3" receiver, man.
Yeah.
What Kelvin Benjamin at?
They did have. What's his name? Robert something. I think he's like number 14. He's a good. So, he's like 6'3" or 6'4", something like that. But he was a decent receiver. But I do have faith in Josh Allen. It's just out of all of these teams, it's like the Titans ain't it for me. Ain't it? Even though I like the Titans and stuff, it's like
I do.
It's too one-dimensional.
I don't think they make it. Out of those teams, I don't think the Titans gonna make it either. And mm-hmm. y'all hit all the reasons I was gonna say too. People gonna make Tannehill beat them. Mm-hmm. They got to.
And not even like, that Tannehill doesn't have the talent. I just think he never – I don't know. He always give you a little – yeah, he always give you a taste of something, but he ain't got the hit factor.
Yeah,
anytime we play, when I was with the Jets, we played in Miami, or anytime I played, you know, Ryan Tannehill, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a good game for me, a really good game. I'm talking about, oh yeah, I remember we played in Miami on Monday night, and it was like we played the Bills first, and I balled out and played Miami. And I was like, I was kind of nervous, but I was like, fuck it. I went out there, it was lights out, balled out and stuff. I'm like, and then we played Miami the following year in London, bought out again. I'm like, man, I got to make sure I'm playing against Ryan Tannehill all the time. Because like, he takes a little longer to throw the ball. It was like, if you confuse him a little bit, then it's like.
That's what used to frustrate me when I was in Miami, bro. I watched him at practice. He got – and he's like, man, I'm going to – he worked hard now. He's always in the early working out, him in suit. He was always the first one there working out. He always stayed late. He, good teammate. Worked hard. Bro, he got all the skills. He just never – like, bro, he could throw on a run. He could throw a nice deep ball. He was accurate. He could run. I'm like, bro, why can't you just – he needs that extra to put it over the top, man. He just never puts it all together at one time.
Yeah. Like, right.
He can do things, but, man, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you think he was scared to take that chance to make that big throw or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think he's scared to like cut it loose a lot. Man.
Yeah,
You got some people got that gunslinger mentality. Some of them don't.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
Jameis got too much of it. that motherfucker ain't scared, but Jameis is not scared to throw a motherfucker. Like it's good to have some now, but boy, Jameis got too much of that shit.
Yeah, yo,
that boy don't bat an eye. He got too much confidence. Like, you got to learn. I feel like Jameis is going to be a good quarterback if he get a coach that can rein some of that aggressiveness in.
I think
he was young.
Sean Payton's going to be good for him and being able to learn from Drew Brees and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because like we said before in previous podcast, that I know you guys said that, Brandon, that Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees before he got to when he was in like San Diego. And then once he got with Sean Payton, Sean Payton was able to mold him into the quarterback that he is right now. So
I think it's great. I just think that offense is great. It's going to be good for Jameis. It'll teach him how to get the ball out of his hand a lot quicker than always trying to take the deep shot.
I think Jameis is going to be the quarterback of the future for them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
F all that Taysom Hill, you know, they be talking about. I'm like,
I don't hear enough crap.
They still a gadget player.
We played Taysom Hill at Tech. That boy just running at this.
That's it.
I'm like, I put a 46 out there. I'm like, all right, cool. What you gonna do? For real. He said,
you see your boy from Jacksonville, the trade that might go to Cleveland? Yannick Njoku, what's his name?
Njoku, whatever his name.
They're trying to send him to Cleveland.
I don't think Jacksonville gonna let him go. I think I've been to Jacksonville and I've been around like the culture in there. Like they are real prideful and real petty, to be honest with you and stuff. Like they say they're gonna keep him, then 9 times out of 10, unless he tries to pull like some Jalen Ramsey, like oh my back hurt or whatever, they're probably gonna keep him. To be honest with you and stuff.
Yeah, I just saw that notification come through a couple of days ago. Made sure I wanted to ask you about it.
Because I feel like whether it's with Jalen Ramsey, Adams, and in New York, Yannick or whatever, if a player doesn't feel like he should be there, doesn't want to be there anymore, then let him go. Let him go. Trade him. Let him go do this thing. If you can't get to a place where it can be like, all right, cool, this is like meet me in the middle. All right, cool, we'll give you some things, but you gotta let go of some things or whatever. I'm like, if you don't want to be there, then cool. All right, no harm done, no foul. We'll let you go. We're not going to trade you to the best team or whatever.
Not trade you inside the division either.
Right. I'm not going to trade you to the best team or inside the division. Let's work something out. Then boom. Yeah. Versus just like you keeping said player throughout the year, and it just makes your culture within your locker room toxic. Nobody really wants to be there. And
Yeah.
Why not? Because I've been a part of teams where that's happened. It's just like, it's just the whole mood is just like bad and stuff. And whether it's been in college or the pros or whatever, it's like, you just, it just feels different from when players want to be there or when players don't want to be there, when management wants you there or when management doesn't.
That's what I tell people. I love Minnesota, man. We never, ever had that happen.
Right.
Everybody always wanted to be there. They had a contract problem. They still wanted to. That's because of their culture, man, and the coaches, the GM. Like, bro, it just, you, like, bro, if you play for Minnesota, DJ, you'll see. I don't think you can play for a better organization. Like, as far as they make you feel like family. Like,
right.
This is a family feel, man. Like, how everybody loves being there. That's how I feel.
Right. I wouldn't, like, the closest that I felt like that was like that when I was with – it had to be when I was with the Jets because, like, the locker room was cool. Everybody wanted to be there. Even though, like, I know one – like, my second season
– had Rex, right?
Yeah, we had Rex. And, like, even though we were losing, like, people still felt like – people just love Rex and just love, like, our cool. It was easier going into work that day knowing that the vibe was going to be good versus, like, everybody just being down. And it's like, man, what the fuck? You know,
Yeah,
we about to lose again, you know.
That's how it is with Zim, man. It's some old school coaches, man. It got to be the old school. Zim hit you with that. Come on, babe. Come on, babe. You got work to do, babe. Hit you with that. Come on, babe. You know, hey, he hit you with one of them. You feel, oh, he in a good mood. And they hit you with that. Come on, babe.
And, like, I could see it because, like, I know that was probably, like, my worst season as a pro. And I compared it to my worst season as, like, in college. When we lost the Air Force in the the Independence Bowl, like that whole season was like just awful. Just the mood was just like down. I think we lost like a lot of
we lost to Kansas veterans, right?
Lost to Kansas. Lost to did we lose to Middle Tennessee? No, we lost to Air Force. We lost to Kansas. We lost to
Middle Tennessee. That was my junior year.
That was my last year. Yeah.
Yeah, last year.
But yeah, lost to Air Force, which is crazy because they ran some of the same type of offense we did. Lost to Kansas. Who else we lose to? It's just like
my redshirt year. I'm trying to think. We lost to Georgia.
That was actually a good game, but
That's when we we actually got blew out that year, I think.
Nah, because I know we got blown out my last year. But was it?
I'm thinking about my redshirt. The year I redshirted, we only lost. It was my redshirt freshman year. We lost at Georgia. That's what it was. We lost 38-35. So I didn't play because I had a concussion that game. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because they had A.J. Green that year still.
A.J. Green.
I remember that. Yeah.
But it was just like that whole season was just like in a funk. And I was like, man. Yeah. And then just like the attitude around the team was bad. I know my attitude. I wasn't always in the game, and I was letting things.
I was hurt, so I was just pissed.
Because I'm like, even though I had someone else ahead of me, and when it took me getting older and me now to understand this. Like, I know Logan, he was starting ahead of me, and I might have had more talent than he had, but him having the experience and having the knowledge and being able to decipher plays made him a better player than I was at the time. And I was like, man, I should be starting. I should be playing more, yada, yada, yada. And it took losing to Kansas for them to get me a little bit more playing time. And I think because I balled out against UNC, played well against, like, Clemson and stuff. But that whole season was just terrible, and it's just like you said, the culture and like how people are just can change the whole dynamic of the whole.
It just seemed like a complete 180 compared to my freshman year when we went to the Orange Bowl.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That was my favorite year at Tech. Every game was
except for that Miami game. That Miami game was just like some shit. But
we just had a bad. We was in a funk. We had a bad game.
And playing on that baseball field ain't fun.
Yeah, we played. Bro, I was playing on dirt, bro. It was trash.
Yeah. But from like game one to the last one, it was like, it was just, it was every game was fun. Yeah. The energy around the team was fun. It felt like the city was like, you know, embracing us.
Yeah, all our games used to be packed. All our
what? Like, bruh, that Georgia game? Used to be
packed. Yeah,
bruh. That Georgia game.
We lost, but man, that was because of us. Mm-hmm. Like, we were the better team when we lost, but mm-hmm. I think we could have had a chance to play for the national championship if we wouldn't have lost that game. We were ranked number five at the time. We were ranked number five with only one loss. And we lost to Georgia, man.
And, like, as bad as we played on defense, offense still kept us in the game. And it was just like, if we would have just been just a tad bit better, then it wouldn't have taken a drop pass by Bebe to keep us in the game or lose us the game. We would have been – it should have been a complete blowout. But sometimes Georgia Tech likes to make the games entertaining and – One side of the team doesn't like to show up and stuff, so
it didn't change our left either, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Like that game, I know the Florida State game was like so much fun.
That was a crazy game.
What? I was
you know, Richards didn't get to travel. I was on TV going crazy. I'm like, what are we doing on defense, man?
And what's funny
we
about
got what you call it, Christian Ponder drafted in the top 12.
Facts. And what's funny about that game is, like, my brother played for Florida State, and so he had scored on Reed or whatever. I think it was like in cover two or whatever. I'm on the sideline like, shit, you know, we gave up a touchdown. And I know one critical play is, like, I know we probably discussed, we I said this on a previous show, but we were supposed to be in Oki or whatever, and I'm on Oki, and Osahan runs in telling me to get out or whatever. I'm like, nah, I'm supposed to be on Oki. And it's crazy that Womack called this defense because I think we're like on the 3-yard line. I'm like, who the fuck goes in Oki on? Like, but you got to run the call that's supposed to be called, regardless of what happens. And we end up getting a sack. And I think we got a sack because the series before that, we lost the ball. I think Roddy fumbled the ball and the guy was about to run. And then Nezzy comes out of nowhere and strips it. And I had never seen anything like that in my life. Just happened like that. Took in my heart. We got the game easy. The game is ours because it's like, I know if I seen that on defense and that happened to us, I was like, I don't know what else we can do, to be honest with you. So, but that whole season was just like something that I remember for the rest of my life. Because every game was just fun, regardless if we won or if we lost. It was like entertaining. It was a little bit of drama added to it. Just the whole vibe was just
practice was fun. Mm-hmm. Coach Johnson was always in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Like, that bull crap going on.
Oh yeah, if the offense is doing well, then you know Coach Johnson
the offense was thriving, so he just told us to get our shit together and left us alone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was like that 14-14 season, too, when we only lost three games. He was always in a good mood. We weren't doing no one-on-ones at practice.
Exactly. We weren't doing none of that hard stuff, bro. Yeah. Like, my favorite part about our freshman year is that you remember at the end of practice, DJ, we would do like the young guys that are redshirted on offense versus the guys on defense. Bro, that was the best part. That was literally the best part, bro. Bro, I used to be out there trying to ball out, boy. Mm-hmm. Morgan Burnett, they used to be geeking us up, boy.
And I think that's probably like one of the biggest reasons why we had such a down year after, you know, the Orange Bowl, because we lost all those guys.
Yeah, we lost those guys, man.
We still had Nesbitt, but I think he got hurt like middle of the year. But, we lost two Dwyer, D. Moore. Burnett, Bebe. There's a lot of leadership and stuff, and that can change like a locker room, and no one man can, you know, hold that up by himself. Like, we still had, you know, Gladiator and Nesbitt, but it was just a total shift from, you know, what we had in 2009.
Yeah.
So
we lost our whole offense the year after we won the Orange Bowl. We lost Dre Shelter. We lost all the A-backs, Dion, Tony.
But didn't Smell get hurt like 8 games into the season?
He got hurt against Georgia. He lost all the games. He played the two games. Playing was the championship game and the bowl game.
That's right.
He got hurt against Georgia, but we lost all them. We lost Darren. We lost Dre. We lost all the A backs we had. We lost Sinjin, that B back. Only person we had left, like left over, was Smooth at quarterback. That was it. That's why all these so bad that year. They struggled, man. When I tell you defense, we were fighting my senior year, like every game. Every game was like, yeah, bro. That's why we weren't like getting blown out every game. We were losing games by like 6-7 points or something like that. We just didn't have enough. We have enough. So I definitely understand that
because was it? It's just crazy at Georgia Tech. Like something like one. The reason why a season doesn't go so well is because like. Just like how Dallas was this past season, like the inconsistency, one side will show up and one side won't, you know.
Yeah.
And you need a little bit from all three phases of the game.
Yeah. Right.
So, since we're talking about the culture, locker rooms and stuff, and one of the big things that have been going on is the thing with Jamal Adams. So, if you guys were the Jets or the owner of the Jets – well, not the owner, the GM of the Jets, would you guys let him go? Or would you try to fix the relationship, pay him what he wants to? Because what the reports have been coming out has been saying, like, oh, we want to pay him. We want to give him the money and stuff. And from the history of the Jets, some of that stuff can just be just blowing smoke and stuff. So what do you guys feel about that?
I just think it would be better for both parties to go ahead and split ways. Because like you mentioned earlier, it's just going to be toxic, man. Like, I don't think Jamal Adams wants to – he doesn't want to be in New York, I feel like.
Right.
It's half of the problem. Like, money, yeah, money's the issue. But I feel like just wanting to be there, like y'all were talking about, I don't think he wants to be there. And I feel like the relationship is not going to get too much better if it does get better at all. So, for me, I think it's just best for him to go ahead and split ways, man, and let both parties be happy that way. So,
You got to.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I agree with that part on him. I just really think he don't want to play for a losing team.
Right.
And I read that him and Gase have a really bad relationship, which doesn't surprise me. Gase always seems to have a bad relationship with his best players. Because when I was in Miami, he freaking him and Landry didn't get along. Him and Ajayi didn't get along. Him and Sue, I never understood that.
That as a head coach, you will always want to have even though you want your relationships with all your players to be well or not, with your best players, because they're going to be the ones to vouch for you when like some shit's going on in the locker room. Like, all right, cool, coach, such and such says like he means well. He's going to be that internal voice for the locker room, but you want to have a good relationship, but for you not to have that is . All right, cool. You got to go your separate ways. And I know me and Jamal talked about this last week when we went live on Instagram. Like, if I was the Chiefs, I'm loving this right now, because even though I know I can't pay Chris Jones what he's worth, I know that the Jets still need interior help, even though they have Quentin Williams and
they can definitely use him.
He can go to New York. I'll give you Chris Jones in a second if you give me Jamal Adams. And he might take a little bit less, even though, he might take a little bit less because the Chiefs do win, and they've shown that over the past couple of years since Andy Reid has been there. And you still get a deal, and you're around, a really good culture in the locker room.
One report came out said he still got 2 years left. So yeah. One report said he's not even looking for a contract right away. If he goes to a desired team, he's not even looking for a contract right away.
Right.
So I'll take a chance on him for those 2 years.
What? Yep. He's one of the top two, if not the best safety in the game. So it's all right, cool. I'll give you a second. I'll give you Chris Jones. I do draft well with the Chiefs, and I do have, good talent up front. And I have the Badger in the back end, so.
That's gonna be cheap.
That'll help Honey Badger out so much.
That's gonna be cheating if they pair up.
I think Honey Badger will play more around the line of scrimmage. I like nickel because they had a good free safety in Thornhill, but he got hurt late in the season.
Yeah.
So they could they can use Thornhill deep and use Jamal Adams and Honeybadger to kind of play linebacker, like slot corner type deals. Man, I have them guys all over. Man, you couldn't give me that much talent.
Because I'm saying not everybody runs like 21 personnel or whatever. Yeah. You mostly see people in 12 or 11 or the occasional – yeah, 12 and 11. That's what you see like a lot nowadays because I know with playing now, we're always in big nickel, sub. We never really come out in like base. Like maybe right, yeah. Start a game or whatever, just to get a feel of like what they're about to do. But as soon as like halfway through the first quarter, you get a feel for what they're doing. When I was the Guardians, we called it what was it? I forget. But big base, we got nickel sub, all yeah. that. It's like we're not keeping all the big people in the game and stuff. So
yeah,
and they'll be able to work with
have a lot of multiple defense with those guys, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, they need to. I think they need to deal in though. It almost reminds me of the Jalen Ramsey situation, mm-hmm. kind of. He just didn't want to be in Jacksonville. So
he didn't even get a new contract. He just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah,
it was exactly. like at first when they were winning and everything was going well, he wanted to be there. But you started to see everything develop. Like they paid Bortles when he shouldn't have been paid. Or whatever, like he should have been paid, but not what he was. Well, not what they paid him. I would have did more of a prove it deal. It was like,
I'm cool, glad they at least admitted they were wrong though. You're like, they got rid of him after 1 year.
Because I'm like, what do you see? I'm like, I don't even if you see potential in people. It's like I don't see what you guys see. You know, he hasn't. He's shown that cool. I can manage a game a little bit. All right, cool. Yeah. Surround him with more weapons. Get him like. Invest in a better offensive line or whatever the case may be. And then, all right, cool, I'm going to sign you to a prove-it deal. If you can prove it, all right, cool.
Right.
Versus it just being, we giving you this boatload of money and then the year after, you ass and we got to trade you. Now we got shit all over our face because we paid you all that money when we could have brought in better players, paid other players to stay or whatever the case may be and still had a decent or good team to help us in the future.
They wasted all that talent, man.
All that talent, because I'm like, you were
top five roster in the NFL, and now he's back to bottom third.
Because I'm like, I was getting used to talking about, you know, seeing Jacksonville on people talking about Jacksonville on like ESPN or First Take or whatever the case may be, because that was like wasn't even a thought before that, but now it's like you're establishing a good culture in the locker room and stuff, and you're winning and. You're not just getting by. You're actually, like, some teams are blowing out, and some teams is like, dang, this is a really good defense. They can really run the ball. Dang, he can somewhat manage a game, you know?
This sound like Tannehill.
I'd take Tannehill over Bortles.
Yeah, I would, too. It sound like a similar situation. You know what I'm saying?
But Tannehill actually
Tannehill can at least hit an open receiver.
Oh yeah.
Bortles so inaccurate.
Cause I'm like I remember when I was in Kansas City and I'm watching him or whatever. It was like one of my first games. I'm like, bro, hit the middle. I'm like, I'm on defense, but I'm on the side. I'm watching my bro. He's wide open in the middle. Hit him. He's just
patting the ball.
Yeah. I'm like, you just setting yourself up for failure.
It gets better, ordered another round. 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 It gets better, it's about to go down.
Somebody said if he gets tagged the next 2 years, he got to make $70 million. Then he can walk away as a free agent in his prime. Easy. I'm like, man, thank y'all won't got them take that tag 2 years in a row and leave. Oh, y'all don't believe in me? Let me get that tag. I'll leave, and he'll be a free agent. He can go wherever he desires. Need a quarterback, obviously. But
shit, yeah. I go to like the Redskins or something just cause.
Yeah, because I know the player. They don't believe in Haskins, first of all.
And that's crazy. That's real crazy because I feel like Haskins has talent.
You know how coaches staffs are. Mm-hmm. They want their guys. Haskins is their guy.
Yeah.
If it was up to them, if they would have had pick 3, they would have taken Tua.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason they didn't take Tua, because Chase Young
they had to take him. They had to take him.
They were like, we can't pass on Chase Young. I guarantee they would have took Tua at pick three.
And what's crazy, like, you have a potential, like, guy to be like Julius Peppers and stuff, so you have to take him.
Yeah.
You have to take him.
Yeah.
I think Haskins got talent, too. He just limited. He don't push the ball down the field that much.
Mm-hmm.
You think his arm's stronger than him?
I mean, he got a decent arm. He got a decent arm.
He needs to be in like a West Coast system, basically like Alex Smith, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
get like
the ball out. He just ain't Alex Smith, who at least athletic.
Right. He can still move.
Haskins is just a pocket guy.
Mm-hmm. That boy heavy.
Yeah, well, he lost 20 weight. Pounds now.
He done lost
he
weight.
He look good now. Yeah, he look good now.
Supposedly, so. It's gonna be real interesting to see if I know we talked about this last time, but the closer and closer we get to like the season, the more doubt I'm starting to have that it's going to be a season. Even though like everyone's talking about,
I'm actually not doubting it because I think with the NBA and the NFL, the faster they get these guys in. Mm-hmm. The faster they found out who got COVID, the faster they can get these guys quarantined and get everybody on one of the – faster they can get a plan in place. I think it's going to actually work out the opposite way based on them getting there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They said like 16 to 300 people tested positive for NBA, yeah, I think.
302. I thought it would have been more than that, to be honest.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. – But these college players, them and the staff for the college team, they rolling in left and right.
Boy, because I saw something the other day say LSU had 30 players and staff test positive. They ain't even announcing they ain't letting the names out, Bush.
Uh-huh.
They said they got everybody quarantined and it's getting taken. They say everybody already getting better. That's what I said. The quicker you get, if they get everybody back, the quicker they can get everybody better and get things rolling.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing that they're going back a little, like, right now.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of places are still, like, not all the way full and running in some states and stuff, so that's why some guys are still, like, on their facilities and whatnot. So it's until it becomes, like, more of an even playing field, that's when we'll start seeing, like, more guys into places, facilities and stuff.
Yeah.
I just know, like, with guys like me, it's just tough because, like, all right, cool, you're supposed to be going to get workouts and tryouts or whatever the case may be. It's like, you can't really do nothing because nobody's flying. Nobody's really at the facility. Nobody's really doing much and stuff.
My working out has been to a cease with COVID. Freaking, I have to stay at home with the dog and my little girl all the time. It'd be too much sometimes. I really only get to work out at night now, or either when my girl off. That's the only time I can work out.
That's
bugging me.
I'd be up at like, cause they got this private gym that they like only let like certain like only like a certain amount of people in at a time and stuff. So I'd be up early. I gotta work out because not working out just be driving me crazy.
I'm telling you.
I'll randomly be in the house while me and my little girl be chilling. Push-up, sit-up, just to do something.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I just gotta feel that little burn.
I do it when I play the game, in between every game, or if I want to do it, between every match.
When I play every commercial, I do something. Every time I do the session in, I do a push-up.
Yep.
Next time, I do sit-up.
Tell me.
Mm-hmm. So you on PS4, Jamal?
Yep.
With the duty,
you gotta add me on duty, man. I'm trying to go duty with y'all guy.
I'm gonna download it tonight. I'm gonna download it once you finish off here.
Me and my best friend be playing every goddamn day, bro.
I'm trying to find out the price on that PS5 though.
It's 500. It's 500.
About 500.
Somebody said they already got. They just ain't announced it yet. But somebody said they placed it at $499. Say less.
That's not as bad as like when the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, because I know that was
PS4 was more than that, I think.
Yeah,
$700.
Because Xbox was like eight something.
Yeah, I got mine early.
Yeah. Like, let's see, as soon as I signed with the Jets or whatever, I think that's when the Xbox One had dropped, and I first thing I did with my check, strip club, right, and go to.
I forgot you wasn't in college.
Yeah, that was my first year.
I remember out. The PS4 came out my senior year,
mm-hmm.
and I got it a month before it even came out in the U.S. This girl I talked to in Atlanta, she's from the Virgin Islands. And it was already out in the Virgin Islands. She went and brought one back for me for a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But I let her came over every day for about 3 months. Hey, but I also happy to get that P4, boy.
Well, he ain't lying. But I feel like for guys who don't get the PS5, you're not really missing out on much except for like the PS. Like, you're not really, because the same games are going to come out or whatever until about like a year.
You know how it is. When we get the iPhone, you got to upgrade. You don't want. And then I still got the same P4 from when they first. My shit sound like a goddamn helicopter about to take up on the runway. That motherfucker was good Lord, I know I need a new game.
That shit be hot as hell. Put my hand behind it.
I'll be trying to clean it, bro. I try to keep it clean, but they gotta. I think I need to go like open mine up and get it cleaned up.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get started. But one of the things I seen online with U Stadium and whatnot is I seen that they had posted which quarterback in the NFL is under the most pressure. So I know this wasn't in the chat, but I wanted to go ahead and just throw it out there. So I think the quarterback who's under the most pressure right now, it has to be Jared Goff. And I say that because they gave him all that money. I think it was like 150 mil, might be more or whatever. And for them just to lay a dud, and for him not to already have, like, I think it was like 2 seasons ago, it was looking like he was going to be an MVP. And then he just fell off a cliff and then didn't do so well in the Super Bowl and hasn't had that same type of performance since then. He has the offensive guru of Sean McVay. He still has talent, had Todd Gurley, and different type of tools, that cup and receiver and stuff, and had a okay offensive line and a decent defense. So, like, what's your excuse? You know, you were like, I think the number one pick, number one and number two pick is like.
You're number one.
It's like, what's your excuse? You know,
what you think what you think about Carson Wentz though? As far as the pressure he under with Jalen Hurts being drafted, and they just paid him off. He kind of in a similar situation, but the only thing
with Carson Wentz, he was able, like, even though like I'm a Dak fan, he was able to win with less and able to get himself into the playoffs with, you know, even like with the injury bug. And the only thing that had been knocking Wentz was injuries, because
he's always injured.
That's the only thing. It has been like been able to put a performance out there, because when he has played, and he's majority of the time he's played well. So I don't feel like it's like a lot of pressure on him.
The injuries is why I thought some pressure would be on him, because
that's one thing you can't help.
Yeah, you can't help it, but it's gonna be in the back of his mind.
And they just drafted a dude that, you know, known for like having.
He knows it's a guy behind them now that they're rooting for.
Yeah, I think both of them.
I can see where the pressure coming from that way.
Yeah,
that's crazy. The 1 and 2 pick.
You go ahead. Yeah, number one, same draft.
Mm-hmm.
For me though, I think it's Tom Brady, even though he ain't got nothing else left to prove.
Right.
Yeah, he probably got, not to us anyways, but you know, he always feel like he got something to prove to himself.
Right.
And you go into a team, one of the best offenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best run defense in the whole league last year. Like, so the defense is pretty solid. They just played, they just were on the field a lot. So that's why they pass defense wasn't as crazy, but. You got your team. This probably the team got more talent on it than any team you've been on since Randy Moss them.
Yeah.
And literally their only weakness was turning the ball over at quarterback, man. And
right.
Like, as soon as Tom Brady signed, the expectation went to Super Bowl. So I just think the pressure is gonna be on him a little bit. I think he can handle the pressure better than anybody I've been seeing. So I think it's gonna be a lot of pressure on him though, because it's – he's gonna be going against a guy. I think the Falcons gonna be improved this year. I think think the Saints – I actually think the Saints are going to be improved because a lot of people ain't talking about them adding Emmanuel Sanders. That's going
– Yeah, that's a big thing.
That's definitely going to help their passing game because Emmanuel Sanders is a legit receiver. You ain't going to be able to just guard Michael Thomas the whole game. Or Emmanuel Sanders going to go bonkers on you. I think they're going to be improved. And Carolina, they're going to be young. I don't think they're ready yet. They're going to be puppies.
Another quarterback I want to throw out there, and he doesn't have a lot to prove. Well, he shouldn't have a lot to prove, but it's just like just everything that's been going on. And I would say Aaron Rodgers, because with them having a top 10 defense, or I think it was a top 10 defense, or a good defense, and with them drafting the quarterback and just all of this negativity that they have surrounded around Aaron, he's been able to produce for like his whole time being in the NFL, and he still has naysayers and whatnot.
I'll go ahead and tell you, their defense was skunked. It was in the mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. It was pretty bad.
I agree with Watts on the Brady thing, though, because, you know, it's a bunch of people ready to tarnish him, saying he can't do it without Belichick and all that kind of stuff. As soon as he started losing a couple games, man, so – Yeah, I agree.
Oh, if he loses like two, three games, it's gonna be like a media storm because we knew it.
It's gonna happen. They're not going undefeated.
I told you. Should have stayed with Belichick.
I think Belichick got more pressure on him than any player.
Right.
In my eyes. I'm actually rooting for Belichick this year for some reason. I don't know why. I always been a Belichick fan because I love guys that love ball. Mm-hmm. Like, despite all the bull crap, I just love people that love ball because I love ball. Like, yep. If I know you care about something, I'm gonna root for you. That's why I never liked the Patriots, but I always love Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he's a competitor. He loves ball. Like, I like dogs. He's a dog. Yeah. I always tell y'all, I like dogs. Tom Brady, a dog.
Exactly. Like, if you care about it, then it's like,
yeah, you care about it, man. I like dogs. I don't care who you play for. I might not root for you, but I like dogs. I ain't gonna be mad that you won something because I know you love it and you put the time, man.
Telling me.
So, man. Out of these four teams, which teams do you think would not make the playoffs this year? The Titans, Buffalo Bills, the Eagles, or the Vikings? And Brandon, you can go ahead and start this one off.
I told you I went with the I initially went with the Titans, but I think I'm gonna stay with the Titans. I said the only way it'll be the Vikings if Dalvin Cook holds out,
right?
Because their running game will be down. But I'm gonna go with the Titans for sure. I think the Colts are gonna be very improved this year. They added a good running back in the draft. They got a good offensive line. I think the offensive line will help Phillip Rivers. They added some receivers in the draft. They added they still got T.Y. Hilton. With their 13th pick they traded, they got freaking DeForest Buckner. So they upgraded their defense, which was already like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
They added Xavier Rhodes at corner, who I think has a lot to prove to himself. He's a competitor. He's gonna want to show that he still got something left in the tank, man. I think the coach's gonna be improved, and of course I'm a Deshaun Watson fan. I think Deshaun Watson gonna get Houston to the playoffs. I think those two teams are coming out of that division, so I think the Titans gonna be I just don't think the Titans. People not gonna just let the Titans run the ball up and down the field this year. I just think they're one dimensional. I don't think that, like, you know how those teams, they always come out of nowhere, but they have this like year where they just steamrolling, but it's always like this one dimension. I don't think that's going to last.
They lost Jarrell Casey. I think he went to Denver.
I don't think it has nothing to do with Derrick Henry, but I just think people are going to be more focused. They're going to be like Tannehill. If Tannehill doesn't take that next
step, Tannehill has to beat us.
They lost the right tackle, right? Yep, they Conklin. Lost Conklin. Yeah. Yep, he went to Freak. Was it the – I'm not sure if it was the Jets. Was it the –
Nah, I think he went to –
It's a team that lost their right tackle. They replaced him with him.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
Why do I think it's the Browns for some reason?
It is the Browns. It is.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Because they got him, and then they drafted a left tackle.
Yep. From Alabama.
Yep. They got those bookend tackles now.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep. For me, I'm stuck on the Titans. Also, I want to say the Bills, and that's only if Josh Allen doesn't take that second step this year. As far as like,
I just think that division is down.
I was going to say, I think the Bills might win a division this year.
Yeah. And I said this when I was watching him in the playoffs last year against the Texans. I'm like, if he was able to just, you know, be just a hair better at quarterback, it would have been a totally different game. Instead of just him just being like a deer in headlights and having to run or whatever and just have to pull plays out of his ass and stuff.
He seemed like he kept trying to make the hero play.
Exactly.
Every game. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I look at him and I was kind of down on him when he came out in the draft and stuff, coming out of Wyoming and stuff, and watching him play and watching him now, I'm like, he can become like a Ben Roethlisberger 2.0 if he actually puts in like the work and able to, you know, study film and like work on his mechanics and whatnot. Because eventually, it's like, I know one thing when I'm being with Rex Ryan and stuff, they're going to start showing you stuff you've never seen before. You're going to have to be able to break that down and be able to see them. Like, oh, this is cover two. Even though it looks like cover one. Oh, they're in a two-shell type of defense. Whatever. Oh, let's go ahead and check out of this and this nine and third. I'm like, you can become that for Buffalo. I'm like, you just got to put in the time and the tape. And I feel like with the coaches and stuff that he has there, that he can do that. And being that he is still young, okay. It's just I've seen Ryan Tannehill. I've seen what he's done. I've seen – and with them losing, like, the force that Casey was on defense and stuff. And it's like, I'm not going to let Derrick Henry beat me at all.
Yeah.
At all. I'm going to put – how many I have to put in the box, I'm going to have to – Ryan Tannehill, you got to show me that you can actually do better than what you did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't know if they have a true number two. Like, I would load the box and bracket A.J. Brown every game.
Exactly. I'm like, what else?
Hey, y'all got to show me somebody that can beat me, man.
Exactly.
And then, but your point on Josh Allen, though, I honestly think he's better than he could. Bro, he's throwing to, like, 5'8" wide receivers. He's 6'6". I feel like it messes him up trying to throw to those short guys. Like, I throw a football. Throwing my daughters a lot harder than throwing somebody my height.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like they got the smallest receivers, and I think he needs some big body receivers.
I think they did have.
I think one more receiver because Diggs gonna be a good addition for them.
They need a big. Big 6 feet. Yeah, he's 6 feet. Yeah. They need about a 6'3" receiver, man.
Yeah.
What Kelvin Benjamin at?
They did have what's his name? Robert something. I think he's like number 14. He's a good. So, he's like 6'3" or 6'4" something like that. But he was a decent receiver. But I do have faith in Josh Allen. It's just out of all of these teams, it's like the Titans ain't it for me. Ain't it? Even though I like the Titans and stuff, it's like.
Yeah, I do.
It's too one-dimensional.
Yeah, I don't think they make it. Out of those teams, I don't think the Titans are going to make it either. And y'all hit all the reasons I was going to say, too. People going to make Tannehill beat them. Mm-hmm. They got to. So.
And not even like, that Tannehill doesn't have the talent. I just think he never – I don't know. He always give you a taste of something, but he ain't got that hit factor.
Yeah,
it's like anytime we play when I was with the Jets, we played Miami, or anytime I played, you know, Ryan Tannehill, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a good game for me, a really good game. I'm talking about, oh yeah, I remember we played Miami on Monday night, and it was like we played the Bills first, and I balled out and played Miami. And I was like, I was kind of nervous, but I was like, fuck it, I went out there, it was lights out, balled out and stuff. I'm like, and then we played Miami the following year in London, bought out again. I'm like, man, I got to make sure I'm playing against Ryan Tannehill all the time. Because like, he takes a little longer to throw the ball. It was like, if you confuse him a little bit, then it's like.
That's what used to frustrate me when I was in Miami, bro. I watched him at practice. Mm-hmm. He worked hard now. He's always in the early working out, him and Sue. He was always the first one there working out. He always stayed late. He good teammate, work hard, bro. He got all the skills. He just never, like, bro, he could throw on the run. He could throw a nice deep ball. He was accurate. Mm-hmm. He could run. I'm like, bro, why can't you just? He just got. He need that extra to put it over the top, man. He just mm-hmm. never puts it all together at one time.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
He can do things, but man, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you think he was scared to take that chance to make that big throw or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't think – I think he's scared to, like, cut it loose a lot. Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got – some people got that gunslinger mentality. Some of them don't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean
– Jameis just... got too much of it. that motherfucker ain't scared. But Jameis is not scared to throw a motherfucker.
Oh,
like, it's good to have some now. But, boy, Jameis got too much of that shit.
Yeah, you
that boy
constantly.
That boy don't bat an eye.
He right.
Got too much confidence. Like, you got to learn. I feel like Jameis is going to be a good quarterback if he get a coach that can rein some of that aggressiveness in.
Sean Payton's going to be good for him and being able to learn from Drew Brees and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because like we said before in previous podcasts, that I know you had said there, Brandon, that Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees before he got to when he was in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And then once he got with Sean Payton was able to mold him into the quarterback that he is right now. So
I think it's great. I think that offense is great. It's going to be good for Jameis. It'll teach him how to get the ball out of his hand a lot quicker than always trying to take the deep shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Jameis is going to be the quarterback of the future for them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
F all that Taysom Hill, you know, they be talking about. I'm like,
I don't hear enough, bro.
They still a gadget player.
We played Taysom Hill. We played Taysom Hill at Tech. That boy just running at this.
That's it.
I'm like, I put a 46 out there. I'm like, all right, cool. What you gonna do? For real. He said,
you see your boy from Jacksonville, the trade that might go to Cleveland. Yannick Njoku. What's his name?
Njoku. Whatever his name.
They're trying to get him to Cleveland.
I don't think Jacksonville gonna let him go. I think I've been to Jacksonville and I've been around like the culture in there. Like they are real prideful and real petty, to be honest with you, and stuff. Like they say they're gonna keep him, then 9 times out of 10. Unless he tries to pull like some Jalen Ramsey, like, oh, my back hurt or whatever. They're probably gonna keep him, to be honest with you, and stuff.
Yeah. I just saw that notification come through a couple of days ago. Made sure I wanted to ask you about it.
Because I feel like whether it's with Jalen Ramsey, Adams, and in New York, Yannick or whatever, if a player doesn't feel like he should be there, doesn't want to be there anymore, then let him go. Let him go. Trade him. Let him go do this thing. If you can't get to a place where it can be like, all right, cool, this is like meet me in the middle. All right, cool, we'll give you some things, but you gotta let go of some things or whatever. I'm like, if you don't want to be there, then cool. All right, no harm done, no foul. We'll let you go. We're not going to trade you to the best team or whatever.
Not trade you inside the division either.
Right. I'm not going to trade you to the best team or inside the division. Let's work something out. Then boom. Yeah. Versus just like you keeping said player throughout the year, and it just makes your culture within your locker room toxic. Nobody really wants to be there.
Yeah.
Why not? Because I've been a part of teams where that's happened. It's just like, it's just the whole mood is just like bad and stuff. And whether it's been in college or the pros or whatever, it's like, it just feels different from when players want to be there or when players don't want to be there, when management wants you there or when management doesn't.
That's what I tell people. I love Minnesota, man. We never, ever had that happen.
Right.
Everybody always wanted to be there. They had a contract problem. They still wanted to. That's because of their culture, man, and the coaches, the GM. Like, bro, if you play for Minnesota, DJ, you'll see. I don't think you can play for a better organization. Like, as far as they make you feel like family. This is a family feel, man. Like, everybody loves being there. That's how I feel.
Right. I wouldn't, like, the closest that I felt like that was like that when I was with – it had to be when I was with the Jets because, like, the locker room was cool. Everybody wanted to be there. Even though, like, I know one – like, my second season
– y'all had Rex, right?
Yeah, we had Rex. And, like, even though we were losing, like, people just love Rex and just love, like, cool. It was easier going into work that day, knowing that the vibe was going to be good versus like everybody just being down and it's like, man, what the fuck, you know? Oh, yeah, we about to lose again, you know.
That's how it is with Zim, man. It's some old school coaches, man. It got to be the old school. Zim hit you with that. Come on, babe. Come on, babe. You got work to do, babe. Hit you with that. Come on, babe. You know, hey, he hit you with one of them. You feel, oh, he in a good mood. And they hit you with that. Come on, babe.
And, like, I could see it because, like, I know that was probably, like, my worst season as a pro. And I compared it to my worst season as, like, in college when we went to – when we lost to Air Force in the – what was it? The Independence Bowl. Like, that whole season was, like, just awful. Just the mood was just, like, down. I think we lost, like, a lot of
– We lost to Kansas, veterans. Right?
Lost to Kansas. Lost to we lost to
Middle Tennessee my richard junior year. That was my junior year.
That was my last year, yeah.
Yeah, your last year.
But yeah, we lost to Air Force, which is crazy because they ran somewhat the same type of offense we did. Lost to Kansas. Who else we lose to? It's just like
my redshirt year. I'm trying to think. We lost to Georgia.
Lost to Georgia. That was actually a good game, but
That's when we we got blew out that year, I think.
Nah, because I know we got blown out my last year, but was it?
I'm thinking about my redshirt. The year I redshirted, we only lost. It was my redshirt freshman year. We lost at Georgia. That's what it was. We lost 38-35. I didn't play because I had a concussion that game. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because they had A.J. Green that year. Still.
A.J. Green.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But it was just like that whole season was just like in a funk. And I was like, man. Yeah. And then just like the attitude around the team was bad. I know my attitude, I wasn't always in the game. And I was letting like –
terrible.
Letting like – things.
I was hurt, so I was just pissed.
Because I'm like, even though like I was like, I had someone else ahead of me, and when it took me getting older and me now to understand this, like I know Logan, he was starting ahead of me, and I might have had more talent than he had, but him having the experience and having the knowledge and being able to decipher plays made him a better player than I was at the time. And I was like, man, I should be starting. I should be playing more, yada, yada, yada. And it took losing to Kansas for them to get me a little bit more playing time. And I think because I had balled out against UNC, played well against, like, Clemson and stuff. But that whole season was just terrible. And it's just like you said, the culture and like how people are just can change the whole dynamic of the whole.
It just seemed like a complete 180 compared to my freshman year when we went to the Orange Bowl.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That was my favorite year at Tech.
Every game was except for that Miami game. That Miami game was just like some shit.
Yeah,
but
we just had a bad. We was in a funk. We had a bad game.
And playing on that baseball field ain't fun.
Yeah, we played. Bro, we playing on dirt, bro. It was trash. Yeah.
But from like game one to the last one, it was just every game was fun. Yeah. The energy around the team was fun. It felt like the city was like, you know, embracing us.
Yeah, all our games used to be packed. All our
what? Like bro, that Georgia game?
Used to be packed. Yeah, bro.
That Georgia game.
We lost, but man, that was because of us. We were the better team when we lost, but I think we could have had a chance to play for the national championship if we wouldn't have lost that game. We were ranked number five at the time. We were ranked number five with only one loss, and we lost to Georgia, man.
And, like, as bad as we played on defense, offense still kept us in the game, and it was just like if we would have just been just a tad bit better, then it wouldn't have taken a drop pass by Bebe to keep us in the game or lose us the game. We would have been – It should have been a complete blowout, but sometimes Georgia Tech likes to make the games entertaining, and one side of the team doesn't like to show up and stuff. So,
it didn't change our theft either, to be honest.
Like that game, I know the Florida State game was like so much fun.
That was a crazy game.
What?
I was watching, you know, Richards didn't get to travel. I was on TV going crazy. I'm like, what are we doing on defense, man?
And what's funny
we
about
got, what you call it, Christian Ponder drafted in the top 12.
Facts. And what's funny about that game is, like, my brother played for Florida State. And so he had scored on Reed or whatever. I think it was like in cover two or whatever. I'm on the sideline like, there we go. Oh, shit. You know, we gave up a touchdown. And I know one critical play is like, I know we probably discussed, I said this on a previous show, but we were supposed to be in Oki or whatever. And I'm on Oki. And Osahan runs in telling me to get out or whatever. I'm like, nah, I'm supposed to be on Oki. And it's crazy that Womack called this defense because I think we were like on the 3-yard line. Like, who the fuck goes in Oki on, like, but you got to run the call that's supposed to be called regardless of what happens. And we end up getting a sack. And I think we got a sack because the play before, the series before that, we lost I think Roddy fumbled the ball and the guy was about to run. And then Nesbitt comes out of nowhere and strips it. And I had never seen anything like that in my life. Just happened like that.
Strips on my arc.
We got the game easy. The game is ours because it's like, I know if I seen that on defense and that happened to us, I was like, I don't know what else we can do, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
But that whole season was just like something that I remember for the rest of my life. Because like I said, every game was just fun, regardless if we won or if we lost. It was like entertaining. It was a little bit of drama added to it. Just the whole vibe was just.
Practice was fun. Mm-hmm. Coach Johnson was always in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Like, that bull crap going on.
Oh, yeah. If the offense is doing well, then you know Coach Johnson.
The offense was thriving, so he just told us to get our shit together and left us alone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was like that 14-14 season, too, when we only lost 3 games. So he was always in a good mood. We weren't doing no one-on-ones at practice.
Exactly. We weren't doing none of that hard stuff, bro. My favorite part about our freshman year is that you remember at the end of practice, DJ, we would do like the young guys that are redshirted on offense versus the guys on defense. Bro, that was the best part. That was literally the best part, bro. Bro, I used to be out there trying to ball out, boy. Morgan Burnett, they used to be geeking us up, boy.
And I think that's probably like one of the biggest reasons why we had such a down year after, you know, the Orange Bowl, because we lost all those guys.
Yeah, we lost those guys, man.
We still had Nesbitt, but I think he got hurt like middle of the year. But yeah, we lost Dwyer, D. Moore, Burnett, Bebe.
Just
a lot of leadership and stuff, and that can change like a locker room, and no one man can, you know, hold that up by himself. Like, we still had, you know, Gladiator and Nesbitt, but it was just a total shift from, you know, what we had in 2009.
Yeah,
so
we lost our whole offense the year after we won the Orange Bowl. We lost Dre Spilter. We lost all the A-backs, Dion, Tony.
But didn't Smell get hurt like 8 games into the season?
He got hurt against Georgia.
He played
the whole season. Only 2 games. Yeah. Playing was the championship game and the bowl game.
That's right.
He got hurt against Georgia, but we lost all them. We lost Darren. We lost Dre. We lost all the A-backs we had. We lost Sinjin, that B-back. Only person we had left over was Smooth at quarterback. That was it. That's why all these so bad that year. They struggled, man. When I tell you defense, we were fighting my senior year, like, every game. Yeah, bro. That's why we weren't, like, getting blown out every game. We were losing games by, like, 6-7 points or something like that. We didn't have enough. We didn't have enough offense. So,
I definitely understand that because it's just crazy at Georgia Tech, like something like the reason why a season doesn't go so well is because, like, just like how Dallas was this past season, like the inconsistency, one side will show up and one side won't, you know.
Yeah.
And you need a little bit from all 3 phases of the game.
Yeah. Right.
So, since we're talking about the culture, locker rooms and stuff, and one of the big things that have been going on is the thing with Jamal Adams. So if you guys were the Jets or the owner of the Jets, well, not the owner, the GM of the Jets, would you guys let him go? Or would you try to mend and fix the relationship, pay him what he wants to? Because what the reports have been coming out has been saying, like, oh, we want to pay him, we want to give him the money and stuff. And from the history of the Jets, some of that stuff can just be just blowing smoke and stuff. So what do you guys feel about that?
I just think it'd be better for both parties to go ahead and split ways. Because like you mentioned earlier, it's just going to be toxic, man. Like, I don't think Jamal Adams wants to – he doesn't want to be in New York, I feel like.
Right.
It's half of the problem. Like, money, yeah, money's the issue. But I feel like just wanting to be there, like y'all were talking about, I don't think he wants to be there. And I feel like the relationship is not going to get too much better if it does get better at all. So, for me, I think just best for him to go ahead and split ways, man, and let both parties be happy that way. So,
You got to.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I agree with that part on him. I just really think he don't want to play for a losing team.
Right.
And I read that him and Gase have a really bad relationship, which doesn't surprise me. Gase always seems to have a bad relationship with his best players. Because when I was in Miami, he freaking him and Landry didn't get along. Him and Ajayi didn't get along. Him and Sue. It was just he always.
I never understood that as a head coach. You will always want to have even though you want your relationships with all your players to be well or whatnot, with your best players, because they're going to be the ones to vouch for you when like some shit's going on in the locker room. Like, all right, cool, coach such and such says like he means well. He's going to be that internal voice for the locker room. But you want to have a good relationship, but for you not to have that is like, all right, cool. You got to go your separate ways. And I know me and Jamal talked about this last week when we went live on Instagram. Like, if I was the Chiefs, I'm loving this right now, because even though I know I can't pay Chris Jones what he's worth, I know that the Jets still need interior help, even though they have Quentin Williams and
they can definitely use him.
He can go to New York. I'll give you Chris Jones in a second if you give me Jamal Adams. And he might take a little bit less, even though, he might take a little bit less because the Chiefs do win, and they've shown that over the past couple of years since Andy Reid has been there. And you still get a deal, and you are around, a really good culture and the locker room and whatnot.
One report came out said he still got 2 years left. So yeah. One report said he's not even looking for a contract right away. If he goes to a desired team, he's not even looking for a contract right away.
Right.
So I'll take a chance on him for those 2 years.
What? He's one of the top two, if not the best safety in the game. So it's all right, cool. I'll give you a second. I'll give you Chris Jones. I do draft well with the Chiefs, and I do have, good talent up front. And I have the Badger in the back end, so.
That's gonna be cheating.
That'll help Honey Badger out so much.
That's gonna be cheating if they pair up.
I think Honey Badger will play more around the line of scrimmage. I like nickel because they had a good free safety in Thornhill, but he got hurt later in the season. Remember?
Yeah.
So they can use Thornhill deep and use Jamal Adams and Honey Badger kind of play linebacker like slot corner type deal. Man, I have them guys all over. Man, you couldn't give me that much talent.
Because I'm saying, not everybody runs 21 personnel or whatever.
Yeah.
You mostly see people in 12 or 11 or the occasional – 12 and 11. That's what you see a lot nowadays, because I know with playing now, we're always in big nickel, sub. We never really come out in base. Start a game or whatever, just to get a feel of what they're about to do. But as soon as halfway through the first quarter, you get a feel for what they're doing. When I was the Guardians, we called it what was it? I forget. But big base, we got nickel, sub, all that. It's we're not keeping all the big people in the game and stuff. So
yeah,
and they'll be able to work with
they can,
being able
they can to have a lot of multiple defense with those guys, man.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I think they need to deal him though. It almost reminds me of the Jalen Ramsey situation kinda. He just didn't want to be in Jacksonville. So
he didn't even get a new contract. He just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, it was exactly. like at first when they were winning and everything was going well, he wanted to be there, but you started to see everything develop. Like they paid Bortles when he shouldn't have been paid or whatever. Like he should have been paid, but not what he was. Well, not what they paid him. I would have did more of a prove it deal. It was like,
I'm just glad they at least admitted they were wrong though. Like, they got rid of him after 1 year.
Because I'm like, what do you see? I'm like, I don't, even if you see potential in people, it's like, I don't see what you guys see. You know, he's shown that cool, I can manage a game a little bit. All right, cool. Yeah. Surround him with more weapons, get him like invest in a better offensive line or whatever the case may be. And then, all right, cool, I'm going to sign you to a prove it deal. If you can prove it, all right, cool.
Right.
Versus it just being, we giving you this boatload of money, and then the year after, you ass, and we got to trade you. Now we got shit all over our face because we paid you all that money when we could have brought in better players, paid other players to stay, or whatever the case may be, and still had a decent or good team to help us in the future.
They wasted all that talent, man.
All that talent. Because I'm like, you were –
top five roster in the NFL, and now he's back to bottom third.
Because I'm like, I was getting used to talking about, you know, seeing Jacksonville on people talking about Jacksonville on like ESPN or First Take or whatever the case may be, because that was like wasn't even a thought before that. But now it's like you're establishing a good culture in the locker room and stuff, and you're winning, and you're not just getting by. You're actually like, some teams are blown out and some teams is like, dang, this is a really good defense. They can really run the ball. Dang, he can somewhat manage a game, you know?
This sound like Tannehill.
I'd take Tannehill over Bortles.
Yeah, I would too. It sounds like a similar situation. You know what I'm saying?
But Tannehill actually
Tannehill gonna at least hit an open receiver.
Oh yeah.
Bortles so inaccurate.
Cause I'm like, I remember when I was in Kansas City and I'm watching him or whatever. It was like one of my first games. I'm like, bro, hit the middle. I'm like, I'm on defense, but I'm on the side. I'm watching. I'm like, bro, it's wide open in the middle. Hit him. He's just
patting the ball.
I'm like, you just setting yourself up for failure.